I Am That, Chapter 61. Matter is Consciousness Itself. Questioner. I was lucky to have holy company all my life. Is it enough for self-realization? Maharaj. It depends on what you make of it. Questioner. I was told that the liberating action of satsang is automatic, just like a river carries one to the estuary, so the subtle and silent influence of good people will take me to reality. Maharaj. It will take you to the river, but the crossing is your own. Freedom cannot be gained nor kept without will to freedom. You must strive for liberation. The least you can do is uncover and remove the obstacles diligently. If you want peace, you must strive for it. You will not get peace just by keeping quiet. Questioner. A child just grows. He does not make plans for growth, nor has he a pattern, nor does he grow by fragments. A hand here and a leg there, he grows integrally and consciously. Maharaj. Because he is free of imagination. You can also grow like this, but you must not indulge in forecasts and plans born of memory and anticipation. It is one of the peculiarities of a jnani that he is not concerned with the future. Your concern with future is due to fear of pain and desire for pleasure. To the jnani, all is bliss. He is happy with whatever comes. Questioner. Surely there are many things that would make even a jnani miserable. Maharaj. A jnani may meet with difficulties, but they do not make him suffer. Bringing up a child from birth to maturity may seem a hard task, but to a mother the memories of hardships are a joy. There is nothing wrong with the world. What is wrong is in the way you look at it. It is your own imagination that misleads you. Without imagination, there is no world. Your conviction that you are conscious of a world is the world. The world you perceive is made of consciousness. What you call matter is consciousness itself. You are the space, akash, in which it moves, the time in which it lasts, the love that gives it life. Cut off imagination and attachment, and what remains? Questioner. The world remains. I remain. Maharaj. Yes, but how different it is when you can see it as it is, not through the screen of desire and fear. Questioner. What for are all these distinctions, reality and illusion, wisdom and ignorance, saint and sinner? Everyone is in search of happiness. Everyone strives desperately. Everyone is a yogi and his life a school of wisdom. Each learns his own way, the lessons he needs. Society approves some, disapproves of others. There are no rules that apply everywhere and for all time. Maharaj. In my world, love is the only law. I do not ask for love. I give it. Such is my nature. Questioner. I see you living your life according to a pattern. You run a meditation class in the morning, lecture and have discussions regularly. Twice daily there is worship, puja, and religious singing, bhajan, in the evening. You seem to adhere to the routine scrupulously. Maharaj. The worship and the singing are as I found them, and I saw no reason to interfere. The general routine is according to the wishes of the people with whom I happen to live or who come to listen. They are working people, with many obligations, and the timings are for their convenience. Some repetitive routine is inevitable. Even animals and plants have their timetables. Questioner. Yes, we see a regular sequence in all life. Who maintains the order? Is there an inner ruler who lays down laws and enforces order? Maharaj. Everything moves according to its nature. Where is the need of a policeman? Every action creates a reaction which balances and neutralizes the initial action. Everything happens, but there is a continuous canceling out, and in the end, it is as if nothing happened. Questioner. Do not console me with final harmonies. The accounts tally, but the loss is mine. Maharaj. Wait and see. You may end up with a profit good enough to justify the outlays. Questioner. There is a long life behind me, and I often wonder whether its many events took place by accident or there was a plan. Was there a pattern laid down before I was born by which I had to live my life? If yes, who made the plans and who enforced them? Could there be deviations and mistakes? Some say destiny is immutable and every second of life is predetermined. Others say that pure accident decides everything. Maharaj, you can have it as you like. You can distinguish in your life a pattern or see merely a chain of accidents. Explanations are meant to please the mind. They need not be true. Reality is indefinable and indescribable. Questioner. Sir, you are escaping my question. I want to know how you look at it. Wherever we look, we find structure of unbelievable intelligence and beauty. How can I believe that the universe is formless and chaotic? Your world, the world in which you live, may be formless, but it need not be chaotic. Maharaj. The objective universe has structure, is orderly and beautiful. Nobody can deny it. But structure and pattern imply constraint and compulsion. My world is absolutely free. Everything in it is self-determined. Therefore, I keep on saying that all happens by itself. There is order in my world too, but it is not imposed from outside. It comes spontaneously and immediately because of its timelessness. Perfection is not in the future. It is now. Questioner. Does your world affect mine? Maharaj. At one point only, at the point of the now. It gives it momentary being, a fleeting sense of reality. In full awareness, the contact is established. It needs effortless, unself-conscious attention. Questioner. Is not attention an attitude of mind? Maharaj. Yes, when the mind is eager for reality, it gives attention. There is nothing wrong with your world. It is your thinking yourself to be separate from it that creates disorder. Selfishness is the source of all evil. Questioner. I am coming back to my question. Before I was born, did my inner self decide the details of my life, or was it entirely accidental and at the mercy of heredity and circumstances? Maharaj. Those who claim to have selected their father and mother and decided how they are going to live their next life may know for themselves. I know for myself. I was never born. Questioner. I see you sitting in front of me and replying my questions. Maharaj. You see the body only, which, of course, was born and will die. Questioner. It is the life story of this body mind that I am interested in. Was it laid down by you or somebody else, or did it happen accidentally? Maharaj. There is a catch in your very question. I make no distinction between the body and the universe. Each is the cause of the other, each is the other, in truth. But I am out of it all. When I am telling you that I was never born, why go on asking me what were my preparations for the next birth? The moment you allow your imagination to spin, it at once spins out a universe. It is not at all as you imagine, and I am not bound by your imaginings. Questioner. It requires intelligence and energy to build and maintain a living body. Where do they come from? Maharaj. There is only imagination. The intelligence and power are all used up in your imagination. It has absorbed you so completely that you just cannot grasp how far from reality you have wandered. No doubt, imagination is richly creative. Universe within universe are built upon it. Yet they are all in space and time, past and future, which just do not exist. Questioner. I have read recently a report about a little girl who was very cruelly handled in her early childhood. She was badly mutilated and disfigured and grew up in an orphanage, completely estranged from her surroundings. This little girl was quiet and obedient, but completely indifferent. One of the nuns who were looking after the children was convinced that the girl was not mentally retarded, but merely withdrawn, irresponsive. A psychoanalyst was asked to take up the case, and for 2 full years he would see the child once a week and try to break the wall of isolation. She was docile and well-behaved, but would give no attention to her doctor. He brought her a toy house with rooms and movable furniture and dolls representing father, mother, and their children. It brought out a response. The girl got interested. One day the old hurts revived and came to the surface. Gradually she recovered. A number of operations brought back her face and body to normal, and she grew into an efficient and attractive young woman. It took the doctor more than 4-5 years, but the work was done. He was a real guru. He did not put down conditions nor talk about readiness and eligibility. Without faith, without hope, out of love only, he tried and tried again. Maharaj. Yes, that is the nature of a guru. He will never give up. But to succeed, he must not be met with too much resistance. Doubt and disobedience necessarily delay. Given confidence and pliability, he can bring about a radical change in the disciple speedily. Deep insight in the guru and earnestness in the disciple, both are needed. Whatever was her condition, the girl in your story suffered for lack of earnestness in people. The most difficult are the intellectuals. They talk a lot, but are not serious. What you call realization is a natural thing. When you are ready, your guru will be waiting. Sadhana is effortless. When the relationship with your teacher is right, you grow. Above all, trust him. He cannot mislead you. Questioner. Even when he asked me to do something patently wrong? Maharaj. Do it. A sannyasi had been masked by his guru to marry. A sannyasi had been asked by his guru to marry. He obeyed and suffered bitterly, but his four children were all saints and seers, the greatest in Maharashtra. Be happy with whatever comes from your guru, and you will grow to perfection without striving. Questioner. Sir, have you any wants or wishes? Can I do anything for you? Maharaj. What can you give me that I do not have? Material things are needed for contentment, but I am contented with myself. What else do I need? Questioner. Surely when you are hungry you need food, and when sick you need medicine. Maharaj. Hunger brings the food, and illness brings the medicine. It is all nature's work. Questioner. If I bring something I believe you need, will you accept it? Maharaj. The love that made you offer will make me accept. Questioner. If somebody offers to build you a beautiful ashram? Maharaj. Let him, by all means. Let him spend a fortune, employ hundreds, feed thousands. Questioner. Is it not a desire? Maharaj. Not for me. I am only asking him to do it properly, not stingily, half-heartedly. He is fulfilling his own desires, not mine. Let him do it well and be famous among men and gods. Questioner. But do you want it? Maharaj. I don't want it. Questioner. Will you accept it? Maharaj. I don't need it. Questioner. Will you stay in it? Maharaj. If I am compelled. Questioner. What can compel you? Maharaj. Love of those who are in search of light. Questioner. Yes, I see your point. Now how am I to go into samadhi? Maharaj. If you are in the right state, whatever you see will put you into samadhi. After all, samadhi is nothing unusual. When the mind is intensely interested, it becomes one with the object of interest. The seer and the seen become one in seeing, the hearer and the heard become one in hearing, the lover and the loved become one in loving. Every experience can be ground for samadhi. Questioner. Are you always in a state of samadhi? Maharaj. Of course not. Samadhi is a state of mind, after all. I am beyond all experience, even of samadhi. I am the great devourer and destroyer. Whatever I touch dissolves into void. Akash. Questioner. I need samadhis for realization. Maharaj. You have all the self-realization you need, but you do not trust it. Have courage. Trust yourself. Go. Talk. Act. Give it a chance to prove itself. With some realization comes imperceptibly, but somehow they need convincing. They have changed, but they do not notice it. Such non-spectacular cases are often the most reliable. Questioner. Can one believe himself to be realized and be mistaken? Maharaj. Of course. The very idea I am realized is a mistake. There is no I am this, I am that, in the natural state.